Chapter 13, we can start there. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 3 will begin. Matthew 13, 3. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Let's stop and pray there. Now, Father, we come here to this passage for a specific purpose here tonight. I pray you might open our eyes to some things, and Lord, maybe it'll be an answer for some, for why some things are done the way they are. Lord, we pray we might mainly come to understand your mind better on these matters. May we not ignore what you think and what your opinion is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I draw your attention to verse 5. Some of that seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Very, very shallow soil. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Notice there that says they had no deepness of earth. Now, this is a parable that's recited three different times. Turn to Mark, chapter 4. And again, you find the depth of earth issue. This is repeated again and again. Mark chapter 4 and verse 5. Mark 4 and go down to verse 5. Some of that seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Then notice verse 17, a little addendum. And they have no root in themselves, so these are believers. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. And again, the issue is depth of earth. Now, depth of earth is not used in Luke chapter 8, but I did want you to see the result. Luke 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And they... on the rock, that is the seed sown on that rock where there was no depth of earth, are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, so they gladly receive the word. They like hearing it when they hear it. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, each of those cases, the reason that happened is because they had a lack of depth. And it's about that I want to talk about tonight. You don't have to walk far to find somebody that's a spiritual casualty. And part of the reason they're a spiritual casualty, I intend to prove tonight, is a lack of depth. It seems that that is the ground that the mainline churches are busy sowing today. They are not interested in developing depth of earth. We know that that seed springs up best out of an honest heart. And those folks seem not too interested in developing depth of earth. So they sow seed, and the seed springs up immediately, and then in time of offense and tribulation and temptation fall away because, like these, they have no depth. They have no depth of earth. I criticize the modern mainline Christian movement. I do, very much so, and probably won't stop. And sometimes the issues that come up are, well, the positivity versus the negativity thing, or whether somebody is socially conscious enough, or politically correct enough, or tolerant enough of various diverse things, or whether we properly and deeply respect other views and other beliefs and such like that, somebody's faith tradition and all that talk. I just want to say, I realize as much as I criticize each of those individual things, none of those individual things is really the issue. The issue behind the issues has to do with a lack of depth. That's what it is. There is a shallow superficiality to Christianity that's very acceptable today in folks' eyes. I'm not saying somebody's not saved. I think there are a lot of Christians in the mainline Christian churches. They're saved. But their doctrine is not as deep as a scratch. If you measure the depth of their soil, it's about a quarter of an inch. Their roots are not developed. They have been fed pap and sugar water for most of their Christian lives. They have never had their fallow ground broken up. They have never had their stumps and their stones blasted with TNT to develop depth of earth so you can plow and harrow the ground and plant something worth having. We just had a preacher in here this week, and I take advantage of the fact that, you know, there's not much left to say after a guy preaches at you for 4 or 5 days, but the idea is that there's a lot of folks that are Christians that have never had a thorough application of the sword of the Spirit cutting them to the bone spiritually. And when it comes to having the chisel and hammer of the Word of God hammered down between the hard plates of their hearts, the strong box of their sins, they know nothing of it, nothing of it. And it's not so much negativity versus positivity. It's not so much being tolerant or honoring somebody's faith tradition or open-minded. It's not so much that. That's the trouble. What the trouble is a lack of depth. Now, I've never preached this before. Like I said, I'm taking advantage of the fact that y'all have heard a lot this week already. But occasionally it comes to my ear, usually not full-blown complaining, but whispers. And sometimes it's in the body language. And what it says is that maybe we here are just a little too intrusive. Just a little too personal. A little too searching. A little too insulting. Just a shade too negative. Just a mite too critical. A little too scornful and a little too sarcastic. Might be a bit too radical as well. Too strong on the rebukes and the reproofs and the correction. And that body language sometimes says we should make this more appealing, more soothing, more pacifying, more mollifying, more appealing to the fleshly nature. See, we don't like being plowed. We don't like being broken up. If we're soil, we don't like our clods broken with a hoe. And if we got stumps in our ground and stones in our ground, we certainly don't like a stick of TNT stuck underneath and blown to the sky. We don't like it. And the problem is that you're a tree. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree. We're not growing weed here. What you're supposed to be is a tree. And I got news for you. A tree doesn't grow in 2 inches of soil. Now, I know that sometimes you'll find something growing in a crack and it makes its own way down and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is you don't pitch tree seed out on top of concrete or with a quarter inch of soil and expect it to take. And the Bible says that you're like a tree and you need to be plowed and blasted and busted up and broken and hammered. And a crowbar needs to be driven in and cranked on because we're trying to develop depth. So I'm going to preach to you on a lack of depth. And I'm not accusing you of being so. I'm hoping this will explain. And I never had looked at it quite this way and quite this light before. But this is it. I mean, when you complain about negativity or positivity or just a little too critical, this is what you're talking about. This is why I'm not listening. Because what we're after here is depth. not niceness. And that's why just any old preacher or any old evangelist won't do. I would rather have guys here that I know are serious, that aren't bona fide, experienced preachers, stand up and get something from God and then try to give it to you, than to have a hireling come in, pay him $80 to come fill for a night, and him have nothing to say. Oh, man, I'm going to tell it. You want to know how sometimes it goes on revival nights? It was either Monday or Tuesday. I was just about, 5 minutes. I had 5 minutes before I had to get in the car and go pick up Brother Peacock for the meeting on Monday or Tuesday night. Get a phone call, cell phone, and answer. And it's an old guy on the other end. He says, "Hey there." I said, "Hey." He said, "So, I'm looking for this preacher I heard about. Are you him?" I said, "Well, I could be. I'm a preacher." He said, "What church do you preach at?" I said, "Blessed Hope Baptist Church." "Western Baptist Church?" "No, Blessed Hope." "No, Western?" "No, Blessed Hope." "Would you spell that?" B-L-E-S-S-E-D. And I had to spell it for him 3 times. "Now, what was your name?" "Kyle Stevens." "Carl?" "No, Kyle." "Carl?" "No, Kyle." "Spell that." K-Y-L-E. K-I-L, no, K-Y-L-E. And this went on and on. And, it's been 2 minutes. I had 5 minutes. I said, sir, just let me know what you need. We have a preaching meeting going on, and I've got to go pick up the preacher. "Oh, okay. Well, you see, I'm a retired pastor down here in Nebraska near..." I forget what he said now. And he said, "I got this grandson who's saved, but he's not really walking with the Lord too much. I thought you might be able to reach out and contact." I said, "Well, good." I said, "Do you have a phone number?" "Well, no." "He works for this outfit in Minneapolis." "Oh, what do you call that where they take care of the animals?" I said, "The Department of Natural Resources or something like that." He said, "Oh, well, yeah, but that's not what I'm used to calling them. They're called something else." "Is it a game warden?" He said, yeah. "See, I was hoping you could go down to that place and knock on the door and just talk to them, and maybe they could give you his information, and you could maybe help him, invite him to come to church." I said, "Well, sir, I doubt if I walk down to the game warden's office, wherever that is," which I don't know where it is, "that they're going to give me this guy's private information so I can call him." I said, "Do you have an address?" He said, "No, just go on down there." I said, "Sir," I said, "I live in a town of 3.5 million people." He said, "Is it really that big?" "Boy, that's a big town, isn't it?" This was going on forever. And so finally I got him cued in. "Okay, I tell you what, since you don't have a number, you have my number. You have him call me, and I'll be happy to invite him to church." "Well, okay, we can do it that way." "By the way, Pastor," he says, "I, as you know, I'm a retired pastor, so I'm presently assisting in the church that I retired from. And if you ever need somebody to fill the pulpit, I'll be happy to come." He said, "I do a little ventriloquism and a little magic and everything." I'm like, "Dear God in heaven, help me get out of this conversation without having to hang up on this old man." It just kept going on and on and on. I'm telling you, it just went on and on and on. And I said that for the last part, that ventriloquism bit, because not just any preacher will do. And I want to preach to you about a lack of depth. I want to show why the approach that we're taking is right, why it's the Lord's approach, and why the approach the mainline churches are taking are wrong. It's the devil's approach. First of all, I can say this about a lack of depth. The Lord your God is deep. Look in your Bibles. You're going to have to keep those handy tonight. Look in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. You've been to revivals and stuff enough here where you know that a guy gets a chisel and a hammer out and starts hammering on your heart down between the hard plates of your sin. He's interested in prying them apart and exposing you. And a lot of times folks are not interested in that, but still it's the right way, and I'm showing you why. The Lord God, first of all, is deep. Psalm 92. Psalm 92, go down to verse 5. Psalm 92 and verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works. Thy thoughts are very deep. Look in Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Look in Psalm 36. Psalm 36. I'm trying to back all this up with Bible as best I can, because I'm tired of hearing the negative complaint. Thank you very much. Psalm 36. Psalm 36, go down to verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. Those judgments are many, and those judgments are deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. The Lord is very deep. Romans 11. Go down to verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Your God is deep. Your God has deep thoughts. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And down in verse 10. But God hath revealed them. Now the them refers to the things which are of God back in verse 9. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Your God is a deep God. Look at one more passage. Let me take you back to the Old Testament again. I should have hit it while I was back here. Job 11. Job 11. Just get used to turning in your Bible for a while tonight. Job chapter 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Brother, your God is deep. The measure thereof is greater than the earth and broader than the sea. Your God is a deep God. Now that said, I can establish something else. It's true. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth, He created man as well. And God created man originally in His own image. Now, we know that we are now fallen from that image, but we still retain certain things. For instance, you're a tripart being just like God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is a Trinity. He's a Godhead. So we have body, soul, and spirit. We're also a Trinity. We're not a Godhead, but we're a Trinity. And among other things that we inherited, although we're fallen from the Lord, is that God is deep. Well, we are deep as well. Now, man may be brutish. He may be a natural man. He may be foolish. In fact, he may be filled with folly. A man may be ignorant, that is true, but he is also deep. Let me prove that to you. Psalm 64. Psalm 64. I'm going to show you, by the grace of God, why you deserve to have a chisel pounded in with a blacksmith's hammer between the two plates of your heart and pried open with a crowbar to try to get something in and something out to expose you. I know it's painful. I know folks don't like it anymore. I know that The experts tell us that's not how it's supposed to be done, but I'll tell you why. Because God is deep, and so is sinful man. Look, first of all, at Psalm 64, and you can go down to around verse 6 or so if I can get there with you. Psalm 64. Let's start with verse 2. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them, that is wicked men, and the heart is deep. Wicked men are deep. Now, in many cases, as I said, they're ignorant. I just got through reading that history of the Holocaust, and when I stop and think about it, there's a sinister genius in what happened with all that. Folks, those Nazis managed to take a nation and brainwash them into falling in and killing 6 to 8 million Jews. And further, that's not where the sinister stopped. They were deep enough and ingenious enough and probably satanic enough that they managed to, over a period of 5 or 6 years, take that body of 6 or 7 or 8 million Jews and gradually brainwash them and starve them, and yet at the same time hold out some hope for them. So those Jews in the end, most of the 6 million of them, walked up to the edge of the furnace or to the edge of the cut in the earth and allowed themselves to be stripped of their clothes without fighting back and without complaining, to be shot in the head or shoved into the furnace or gassed. I mean, they were led there. They went there of their own volition. They did not rebel for the most part. That is an amazing thing. What kind of sinister genius does it take for men to usurp other men and establish themselves as absolute authorities and tell folks to get undressed when they and they get undressed when you tell them to get undressed, move to ghettos when you say move to ghettos, you get to only eat this when I say you get to only eat this, and little by little just lead them off into death, all 7 or 8 million of them? Well, that's a depth of understanding that I'm not sure I want to even understand. But those are lost men that have that, right? Sinful man is deep. Now let me show you a few more verses. Proverbs 18, there are a few here right together. Wicked men and women are deep. You're deep. You seek deeply some things. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. Now, this may be true of saved men as well, but it's also true of lost. And the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook, but the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. Look in chapter 20 and verse 5. 20 verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding shall draw it out. I know that may apply to good wisdom and righteousness as well, but it also applies to wickedness as well. Proverbs 22, verse 14. Proverbs 22, verse 14. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. What's she saying? She's saying stuff. She's saying enough stuff that one generation after another follows her. And he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. But she, her mouth is deep. Look at something else it says about her. 23:27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. But men's sins drive them deep. Look, if you will, in Isaiah 29. Isaiah, 29. Your depths as a sinful man ran deep. Is it not amazing the new inventive imaginary stuff that folks come up with, imaginative stuff that folks come up with to sin anew. There's just always some new twist on things. I know there's no new thing under the sun, but folks keep seeming to have to find new species of things to defile themselves with. Look in Isaiah 29 and verse 15. 29:15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. They seek deeply to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. Look in Isaiah 31, since you're nearby, Isaiah 31:6. Turn ye unto Him, God, from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. That deep revolt hides in the heart of man. Deep revolt. And there's one other that I have to have you see. Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9. Hosea 9:9. Now God is deep. And I want you to be able to see clearly from the Bible that so is man deep. Sinful man is deep as well. Hosea 9:9. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. You know what happened to Gibeah, right? That was where the Levite chased down his concubine, and they stopped through that town, and the men of Gibeah came to the man whose house they were staying at. He said, send that guy out so we can know him. It's like the men of Sodom. And the man instead sent his wife out, and they abused her all night. Well, that's deep corruption. But it's not unusual anymore at all. But they have deeply corrupted themselves. I'm saying sinful man is deep. Now, I would go this far too. I would also say even the world sees a need for a certain amount of depth. I mean, you're supposed to be able to sleep deeply, to rest right. The world knows that. The world looks for folks to love deeply and to have deep sincerity and to have a deep commitment. They require a deep understanding of many things. Doctors spend half their lives in their education and training and then their internship to make sure they're ready and properly prepared, because they wish to be deeply prepared. In fact, it's set upon them that they should be. Scientists continue to dig deeper and deeper, and sometimes it's a folly, sometimes it's delusion. Sometimes they're chasing rabbits. I don't know all this stuff about quarks and all this kind of stuff they're chasing down. Now, a lot of it is theoretical nonsense. But the fact of the matter is, the world even acknowledges that a certain amount of depth is needed. Now, that said, I wish to also say that if you insist on a shallow Christianity, that is, one that does not ply the depths of the soil, there's never any TNT used, there's never a big plow used, there's never a harrow, nobody ever drives anything into the soil to bust it up. I'll just tell you this. Before you were saved, you were probably tied up in some deep sin. And I'll tell you this, that man is led deeply into sin. And where the devil would like to get you, even as a Christian, is tied up deeply in sin. God is deep. Sinful man is deep. Even the world acknowledges there needs to be depth. And I'll tell you this, man is led deeply into sin. Let me show you that. Let me show you just how far it can go. Revelation 2. Revelation 2. If you won't have a deep Christianity, you may well have a deep sin life. Look in Revelation chapter 2, go down to verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. That plainly says that there are some people that know the depths of Satan. I dare say there's more and more people in America. There are more and more teenagers in America that know a great deal more about the depths of Satan than maybe even some of us, because they ply those depths all the time. Lying, deceiving, depths of Satan. I mean, you have to understand, that's deep. That's somebody being led so far that they're more like Satan than they are God. Okay, look in Proverbs chapter 9. I'll show you another depth. Man is led deep into sin. And what I'm combating here, folks, is the natural urge of a sinner who's a Christian to try to distance himself a little between, you know, God and himself and the Word and himself. And he wants to be kind of left alone. He doesn't want to be cut. He doesn't want to be intruded upon. He doesn't want God to say, you have to do this and this is what's really wrong with you. Do you ever know somebody you could never have a deep talk with because they put up a wall, and if you started asking too many personal questions, they're going to run like a rabbit. Well, that's the way Christians are today. That's what you get in a modern mainline Christian church. You get feel-good fuzzy-wuzzies, and that is not what develops depth in a Christian. That is not what allows a tree to grow by rivers of water. And that's not what allows fruit to be born. Look at, what did I say? I said Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. Go down to verse 18. Proverbs 9:18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, talking about hell, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. If you're lost, you know where you wind up? You don't wind up in the shallow part of hell. You wind up in the depths of hell. That's where the devil wants you. It's where the devil wanted you, in the depths of hell. Not the shallow part, if there is one. I can give you this further. Look in Isaiah 31. Now, you've seen this verse already tonight, these next two verses. That's all right. Repetition's not the worst thing in the world. Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31. Go down to verse 6. Isaiah 31, 6. Turn ye unto him, God, from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. They didn't just revolt. They deeply revolted. With all of their hearts and minds and souls and bodies, they revolted. It was a deep revolt. And like I said, man is led deep to sin. You get deeper in sin quicker than you realize. Sin is deceitful, and before you know it, you're tied up and can't bust it, because you're led there deeply. Look at one more, Hosea 9:9. I'll repeat this one again as well. Hosea 9:9, you were there already. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 9. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. They have deeply corrupted themselves. You're probably, by the time you realize your sin, you're probably more sinful than you realize. Isn't that where the Lord found you when he saved you? You really were worse off than you thought you were. Now look, man is led deep to sin, but man still wants his Christianity to be superficial. He still wants to feel good. He doesn't want somebody pounding something into his dirt, digging a hole in there and putting a stick of dynamite in and blowing him up so that his earth can bring forth something. He still wants to be coddled. He still wants to be shallow. But I wanted to show you lastly, not the last verse, the last point. The Lord reveals the deep and hidden things. What the Lord is after with you is the deep hidden sins, the deep hidden motives, the things that you like to keep to yourself in the dark. The Lord is after you for that. And that stuff doesn't get dug out by me standing up and telling you how fuzzy-wuzzy Jesus is. It's found out by driving a chisel down between the plates of your heart and opening that heart up with a pry bar so that the Lord can do something there. It's by preaching. It's preaching is likened to a hammer. And it's supposed to be that way. The Word of God is likened to a sword. It's supposed to cut you. And a sword not only cuts flesh, but the sword will cut through bone. They said that Richard the Lion-Hearted was quite the man, and he was known to have cleaved a man in two from shoulder almost through his hips, on horseback. You know, one of those whoomp things. And I mean split him from here to here. It clave the bone as well as the flesh. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's all that you need. I'm just saying that the Lord is interested in the deep things. Look at this. Look in Job 12. Job 12. I've preached against the positivistic attitudes and the humanistic stuff and the liberal stuff, and I've named these things off and really hadn't stopped and realized that what this is really all about is not positive versus negative. It's not really about liberal versus conservative. It's about depth and what those seeds lacked, and the reason they didn't survive is they didn't have depth. And the reason that some of your Christian friends are not in the fight anymore is because they never developed any depth. God wants you deep, because you're not just a piece, you're not just a sprig of wheat. You're a tree. And a tree has roots bigger than that which is on top of the ground. There's more under the ground to an oak tree than there is above the ground. And so it's important that you have the right kind of soil. I said Job 12, didn't I? Then I started preaching and I forgot to go there. If you're a visitor, it's a common problem around here. Job chapter 12. Job 12, verse 22. Job 12, 22. Talking about the Lord, we can start in verse 21. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. The Lord is out for the deep things. He's not always just interested in your outward sins and how you look or what you said. He's interested in why. He's interested in the motive. He's interested in what you're thinking long before what you said, what you said. Yeah? Look at something else here. Daniel chapter 2. You're nearing the end. Just hang in there. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Go down to verse 22. Now this is, of course, Daniel having King Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed to him. I'm only going to read part of it. Verse 21 of God. This is what Daniel said. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and light dwelleth with him. He knows what's in the darkness of your heart, and he's interested in exposing it. And so the Word of God goes in deep. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. To the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What the Bible and preaching and teaching is supposed to do is expose your heart to you so you can do something about it. And it's not a pleasant experience. It's not supposed to be pleasant. It's supposed to deepen the soil, so that you won't be shallow, so you won't be superficial, so you have depth of earth. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know we've been there too, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. It's hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them those things unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You can expect to be searched deeply, and should be. It's supposed to be deep. It's not supposed to be shallow. It's supposed to be intrusive. It's not supposed to honor your little territory. Stake this out. Don't step past there, Lord. Because there's something in here I don't want you to see. He ain't interested. He's not interested. And you can get mad and leave, but he ain't interested. Look in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Now, in the context of being careful about what you're judging, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You don't think he'll bring to light something out of your darkness? He sure will. You should simply submit to him trying to expose it now, as opposed to waiting till the judgment seat of Christ. Because you can still correct it now. You still have time to make hay before the rapture. But if it's then, there's no correction of it. Right? Verse 5. Who will bring, both will bring to light in the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Make manifest what you're thinking. Make manifest why you did it. Make manifest what you really were after when you said that. That sort of thing. Verse 5. And then shall every man have praise of God. I got one more for you, Ephesians 3. The problem with that seed was that it had no depth of earth, because whoever sowed the seed did not bother to develop depth of earth beneath it. And so we've now come to a day in our modern age of Laodicea where Christianity loves Jesus and Christianity knows that Jesus loves them. And all that's true. But as far as delving into the depths of the heart, as far as plumbing the depths and allowing the Word of God its full capability of exposing what you are, Christians are not interested. It's not a commitment they're willing to make. They don't want to hear about how wicked they are. They don't want to hear how wrong they've been. They just want to know that Jesus loves them. And it's not enough. That's not all God called you to. He called you to have developed a depth of earth. And that's why you need preaching. And that's why you need the Bible. And that's why you need a friend here or there that'll pin you up against the wall and tell you if you're wrong. It's true. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and then you're going to get to go home. Ta-da! Ephesians chapter 3. And now there's a broad context here. It says, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend," may be able to understand, grasp, and get, "with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, I know that there's debate. You could talk about what that depth is. There's one thing that's very plain. You're not supposed to be a shallow Christian. And you're not supposed to know just a little bit. You're supposed to know a lot. You're supposed to understand a lot. And the Lord is interested in prying open the lockbox of your heart, getting inside and clean that thing out. And you need that because God is deep. And if you're not careful, your sin's going to lead you deep. And so the Lord is interested in showing you the deep things. So, you need depth of earth. You've got to let God work. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, I just want to come.